Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Some of you will be joining us locally right now, and some of you will be listening on the webcast on the internet at tantalk1340.com. So we welcome every one of you. We also continually put our shows the next day or so on our website. So some of you may listen to this show at a later time. And you can go to our website at all times, www.bohmglobal.com. That stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, bohmglobal.com. And we welcome you to go there, get acquainted with the ministry, and listen to some of our old radio shows. We are, this fall, getting ready to celebrate our 400th show on this station. And because of that, we have over 300 shows on our website. So there's plenty to listen to, plenty of good teaching, great contemporary Christian music, and a great time in the Word of God on these shows. So we welcome you to make use of our website and the archived radio shows that are there. It's always a joy to be with you every Sunday afternoon live at this time. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are really doing a lot of good things in these days. God is making changes in our ministry, and we're expanding in some ways and downsizing in others, but all good and all to the glory of God. So we are excited about the new day and where God is leading us. Some things aren't changing, and one of those is our prayer ministry. And we are very happy about that. We have been, this prayer ministry is ongoing for the last 6 to 7 years. And we've seen a lot of answers to prayer. So many that I can't even begin to tell you how many. We are blessed to know that God answers prayer. And we want to share those praise reports with you from time to time. If you're one of these that writes a prayer request, and then you get that answer, which you will, we encourage you to write a note to us at prayers@bohmglobal.com and let us know how God answered your prayer. We want to hear it. We log all these. We keep track of them. And you don't have to state your name or anything like that. If you even want to be anonymous, sometimes we have those that come in. That's all right. It doesn't matter. We just want to be here and be of service to you. That's what it's all about. We're not trying to pressure you into anything. We just want you to know that there is a group of people here that want to pray for your needs and not try to sell you something, just pray for you. So that address again for the prayer line is prayers@bohmglobal.com. And again, that stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's just shorter, easier to remember. prayers@bohmglobal.com. So we welcome you to use the prayer line. We have seen so many answers to prayer through the years. So many times will people write back and tell us that their body was healed or their finances changed as per the prayer, or they got a job, or a relationship was mended. People, that's what it's all about. God cares about the details of our lives. I think so often we somehow develop an image or a picture of God that is more businesslike or mean or gruff. And sometimes I have people say to me, well, God doesn't care about me. He does care about so-and-so, they're more important, or he cares more about pastors and teachers and evangelists and missionaries and things like that. No, God is no respecter of persons. It says in Galatians that it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Greek. In other words, if you're a Jew or somebody that isn't a Jew. And it says, or if you're male or female or anything else about you, God is no respecter of persons. Your prayer request, your prayer need is just as important to him as that of some prominent TV evangelist. God cares about each of us the same. and he loves us all the same. And he wants you to know today that he is a good God and that the details of your life are important to him. So we encourage you to send in your prayer requests to prayers@bohmglobal.com. My associate pastor, Pastor Jim, or one of our prayer team will send out the prayer request to the prayer team. Some of you may say, and I want to be on that prayer team. That's fine. You do not have to attend Beacon of Hope Ministries in order to be a part of the prayer team. We have people on there that are go to other churches, whatever. That's fine. We don't care. It's all about meeting the needs of the people. You can become a member of the prayer team by simply writing a quick email to that same address, which I'm going to give to you one more time here, prayers@bohmglobal.com, and just tell us that you want to be on the prayer team. And from that point on, the requests that come in will be sent to you also for you to pray. One thing that's good about that is Pastor Jim and the other prayer team members always write a prayer for you to read. So it's not like it's just thrown out there, a request without a written prayer, because we do write a prayer and then you can read it and be in agreement with us for those needs. So we're looking forward to a great show today. Two of our radio team members will come along in just a little while. Megan Kramer will join us from Richmond, Indiana in just a little while. She is the daughter of Betty Thomas. Betty will join us at about 3:30 and stay on for the rest of the show. Mother and daughter, they have a wealth of spiritual understanding to share with you today. They've been going through an awful lot in their lives. And, you know, as we go through life's pressures and trials and problems, it causes us to either run from God or run to God. And unfortunately, I've seen so many people through the years in ministry that run away from God when things get going tough. And they have a hard time realizing that God really cares about those details in our lives. And God really wants to answer our prayers. Betty and Megan are two of those people that run to God when the going gets tough. And we really have a blessing in this ministry to have them to be a part of us. They were both a part of my church I pastored in Indiana, clear back in the late 80s, early 90s. That's a long time ago, but they were a part of our ministry then, and I've known them for a long time. So we will welcome Megan in a few minutes and then her mother Betty later on. So we are going to be in Joshua, the book of Joshua, if you have your Bible. If you're not driving down the road and you're sitting still, why don't you pull out your Bible and go to Joshua? And it is the sixth Bible, or the sixth book in the Bible, I'm sorry, the sixth book. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua. So easy to find towards the front of your Bible, and we are going to have a great time in Joshua chapter 3 today. We're going to start out with a song by Chris Tomlin. We love Chris Tomlin's music. Excellent. We've played this one many times, but it just fits where we are right now. Whom shall I fear? Listen to this.
Darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? Always by my side, the one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine, the God of ages.
I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. And yes, we know that we serve a faithful God who loves us, is faithful to our word, to his word, his promises to us. I'm holding on to those promises. And we are, as a ministry, holding on to those promises as we enter a new day in him. Go with me to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua was up early, and he was getting ready to take the children of Israel across the Jordan River into their new day. This is very timely for us right now in this ministry, as God is taking us into new opportunities to serve him, new ways of reaching people, and we're excited about that. We see Joshua at just such a place. I find it interesting that Joshua was 80 years old when God put him in this position of leading the children of Israel into their promised land. Moses was also 80 years old when he was used by God to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, which helps me realize, Megan, that it doesn't matter how old you are, God can still use you. Is that correct, young thing?
You know what? That's correct. And you know what? Happy belated birthday.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yes, that was yesterday. And no, I'm not 80 years old, so I'm not
speaking from a
place of experience here.
That's right. You're half that age. No.
Yeah, I wish. Yeah, I wish.
But, yeah, I know.
But I really am a great-grandmother now, so, you know, which
yes,
is a totally miracle. But anyway, and aren't they beautiful, my little great-granddaughters, my twin great-granddaughters? They turned one last week, and I was in Indiana with you and your mom and your whole family, and got to enjoy the baby's birthday and got to spend time with you. You know, I was telling earlier, right before you came on, that it's a new day at Beacon of Hope, and there's a lot of wonderful things happening, and there's been a lot of challenges, too, right, Megan?
Yes, there has, but you know what? Through the challenge, you continue to march forward and march forward into the victory, and
Amen.
That's where you're headed.
Amen. Amen. And it was a joy to be able to be with you and your husband, Ben, and your little son, Andrew, and the whole family, Betty, and your dad, Joe, and all the relatives that were there last Saturday for the celebration service of little Grayson's life, your son who went to be with Jesus a few weeks back. A joy to be able to celebrate that with you, not without grief. I don't know when I've cried that much in a couple-hour period of time.
It was an awesome time. It was a time of sorrow, but it was also a time of joy because we know that one day the little man is going to be up there waiting on us.
Amen.
And I can't wait to see Jesus, and I can't wait to see all my family.
Exactly. But it is a joy to know that one day we will be there. We just came from the nursing home ministry that we do the first Sunday of every month in Palm Garden and Clearwater. And I tell you what, Megan, it was amazing time today. Oh, one more time. I tell you, these people are learning the songs, and we were singing, you know, just I'll Fly Away, you know, talking about one day being with Jesus. We were singing, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. You experienced the nursing home ministry with us a few weeks back when you and your mother were here, didn't you?
I did, and I have wanted to do that since we started being on the radio show. And just, you know, just to be among those people and see their faces light up. I mean, and the one lady that couldn't talk, sing that you talked about, and just the fact that these people knew these songs, and they, you know, they're smiling and they're clapping, and they were joyful, and it brought such joy to their day to be able to be involved in something like that, and for you to bring that to them there at the nursing home.
Oh, it was. And today we had a couple new ladies. There were a couple new men, too. It was a good crowd today and out in the hallway. And one of these ladies, when I was talking a little bit about heaven, she said, and we're going to have new bodies. And she started talking about how, when I was quoting, to be absent from this body is to be with the Lord. You know, is to be present with
Amen.
The Lord. And she quoted that scripture, and then she said, yes, we're going to have a new body. And then she started talking about this. She just spoke up. After we were done, she said, did you know how old I am? And I said, no, dear, how old are you? And she said, I'm 94. And the lady beside her was 105, Mary. And they were just singing their lungs out today and praising God. What a joy, you know?
Amen, amen, absolutely. And that's, you know, it's amazing for her to speak up like that and know that, you know, what she's going through now is not what she has to look forward to when she meets her maker, when she meets Jesus, is that her body will be renewed. And, you know, we leave all of our pain and sorrows behind.
Amen.
And come into such a glorious, glorious place.
Well, and you guys, all of us that have loved your baby, Grayson, and we know where he is in the arms of Jesus, that's the promised land. That's where we're headed. You know,
amen.
What a joy to know that we will be reunited with our loved ones someday, Megan.
That's exactly right. And that's where I gain so much peace, is in knowing that when I leave this earth, that I'm, you know, that everyone is there waiting on me.
Exactly.
And that there's such peace in knowing that there's a reason to continue on. There's not a reason to give up when there's death in your family. It's a reason to continue on.
Amen.
Because you know what's waiting on you.
Absolutely. Well, let's get to Joshua, because Joshua's taking the children of Israel into their promised land that God has promised them. They are sitting by, they were actually in a town about 8 miles. We're getting some little, can you hear those, that Bobby? We're getting some popping. A little bit of popping. So
you want me to hang up and call back in?
Is it her? Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking it could be the phone.
All right. Why don't you, yes, do that, Megan, and then join me here. We're going on.
Okay, will do.
Okay. So when the children of Israel were getting ready to cross into their promised land, they were camped at a place called Shittim. And the God said to Joshua, take the people from there and take them to the Jordan River. And I'm going to have them cross the Jordan River. Now, this was an 8 mile hike from where they were camped to where they were going. And so they obeyed and they took off. And 8 miles later, they arrive at the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River is that same river where John the Baptist was baptizing several hundred years later, thousands of years later, actually. And this all took place about 1300 BC. So I guess 1300 years or so before Jesus arrived on the scene, this whole account with Joshua took place. So now Joshua obeys God. He takes the people about 8 miles down the road, and they arrive at the Jordan River. And the Jordan River was overflowing its banks because it was harvest time. And at harvest time, it was like a flood stage. And the water was just all over, just coming out of the Jordan River, just sitting there, just water everywhere. So God tells Joshua to have the people camp near the Jordan River. Now, there were a lot of them. By now, there's probably at least 3 million people. That's a lot of people. What are you going to do with them all? So, I mean, this was huge. And so they get to that Jordan River, and then God continues his instructions to Joshua. And I'm about in verse 2 or 3. And God says, when you see the covenant chest of God, your God, carried by the Levitical priests, start moving. Follow the chest of God, which is the Ark of the Covenant, which is follow the presence of Almighty God. It was symbolic of the presence of God. It was the thing that when they looked at this piece of furniture, they realized there's God. You know, it was his where in when the tabernacle was set up, it was where he was abiding. So God gives Joshua specific directions. Is she back on? Not yet? Okay. And he says, make sure that you keep a proper distance between you and the Ark of the Covenant, about a half a mile. And so there was a reason for that. He said, keep your distance so that you will see clearly the route that you are to take. See, if the people were right up against the Ark, they would not see where they were going. But if they were back a ways, maybe almost a mile away, they could see where the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God was going. And that's what happened. And he said, you've never been on this road before. That really kind of applies to us at Beacon of Hope. There is a new day, new adventures, and some of it we've not been on that road before. So look with me at the next verse, and it's about verse 6 in Joshua 3. Joshua then addressed the people, and he said to them to sanctify themselves. He said, because tomorrow God will work miracles among you. To sanctify yourself means to separate yourself from things that are not good for you, that are not what God would have you do. Sanctify means to be set apart. And God is calling the church of Jesus Christ in this day to set yourself apart from the things that have drug you down. The things that are just the same business as usual, the things that have discouraged you, the things that possibly have been bad habits that have kept you from receiving all that God has for you. God says, sanctify yourself, separate yourself from those things. And this is what God said through Joshua to the children of Israel. And he said, if you do this, tomorrow God will work miracle wonders among you. Now, in verse 8 of Joshua 3, Joshua instructs the priest to take up the chest of the covenant, which is the Ark of the Covenant, and step out before the people. And he said, take it up and hold it up so people can see what they are following. What were they following? They were going to be following the presence of Almighty God. Megan, did you catch all that? And let's see how your phone's doing now.
I did not catch anything because I had to shut my phone off and turn it back on. So
okay.
Can you hear me okay?
Got it. Yeah, that's better. Okay.
Okay, good.
So we are in Joshua 3 about verse 6. And the people are getting ready to cross the Jordan. They have no idea how that's going to happen because, as I said a few minutes ago, and I'll repeat this, the Jordan River was flooded. It was in flood stage. It was the harvest time of year. It was flooded, and the people of Jericho, which is the enemy, which were across the Jordan River, probably were a little smug about all of these Israelites on the other side of the river because they saw how flooded the river was, and they probably thought, we don't have much to worry about. There's no way those people are going to be able to get across that flooded river because it was big. It was huge. And I think sometimes, Megan, the enemy is kind of smug and thinks that the children of God are not going to in any way be able to. Whoa, you there?
I'm here. Are you there?
Okay, we're having some technical popping and things going on over here. It's not your phone, so we've decided.
I was going to say, because I hope not.
No, I don't think so, because it's happening again. Okay, so the enemy was sitting over there in Jericho across the river, and they were really kind of smug saying, well, those children of God are not going to get over here, because it was seemed impossible. They didn't have a bridge. They couldn't build a bridge. They didn't have boats. It wasn't like that. They just had a great, big, huge, wide river to cross. And so Joshua goes to the people in verse 9 of Joshua chapter 3. And he addresses the people and he says, attention, listen. Listen to what God your God has to say. And he said, this is how you'll know that God is alive among you. And then he goes into detail about how God is going to defeat seven nations that all live on the other side of the river. And he said, these nations are going to be what they call dispossessed. In other words, they're going to be defeated. Okay? And he tells the children of Israel, don't worry, because this is getting ready to happen. They are, all of these are going to fall. All these nations are going to fall to you. I find this very interesting because these particular nations, their name meant certain things. And it's kind of interesting in our day and age. I'm going to, those of you that want to write these down real quick, I think you're going to find this interesting to meditate on. The Canaanites, and the Canaanites meant love of money, which is interesting. The second one was the Hittites, and the Hittites meant violence. This is something that God wants out of our lives. Violence, love of money, there's two of them right there. The Hivites, The Hivites meant human effort. And, you know, we so often try to do things our way, do it by my own effort type of thing. God says, now let's get rid of that. The Perizzites, they were, that was people with a lack of vision that just couldn't see where God was taking them. The Girgashites were ignorance. And I tell you, there's a scripture in Hosea that I love, and it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Ignorance is no excuse for behavior. We need to learn what God is saying to us. The Girgashites, the Amorites meant pride. God really is wanting to root out all pride in us. And the last one, the Jebusites, were fear. So I'm going to go over those real quick again. Love of money, violence, human effort, lack of vision, ignorance, pride, fear. Megan, don't you see how God really wants to root those things out of our lives?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's amazing that all of those tribes, that even today there are still groups of people that fit into those tribes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, because... Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. You go right ahead.
No, it's just that these are human characteristics, don't you see? I mean, these
Absolutely.
Are common behaviors in people. Love of money, pride, arrogance, you know, ignorance. So many people think they know what the Bible says, but they've never really read it or studied it. They've heard a catchphrase somewhere and think they know, you know?
Absolutely. And that's where they fall into the lack of knowledge. Because,
right.
You know, if you've not studied the Bible and you've not been taught the word,
right.
Then how can you put a staple, quote unquote, on the Bible that you know it when you truly don't?
Right. Exactly. But, you know, this is common. It's common in religious
Absolutely.
Arenas. You know, people think they know what the Bible says on a certain subject, and then they preach it, and they destroy the faith of others by their ignorance and by their judgmental attitudes, you know?
Absolutely. And when they have those type of attitudes, and when they have that type of outlook on the Bible, that in turn rubs off on other people.
It does.
And gives off a persona that you're carrying something about the Bible that's not true, that it's not actually in there, because you're making your own assumptions.
Right. And a lot of times it's done with pride and arrogance. I think there's so many people who are fed up with Christians these days because, you know, they just feel like they're a bunch of hypocrites. And in a lot of ways, I think the Christians are. I mean, we're Christians, yes, but we try our very best every day to not be hypocritical. You know what I'm saying, Megan?
I absolutely do. And the one thing that I always try to remember is to love and forgive like Jesus did. And
Amen.
That way that I'm not a hypocrite, that I'm not walking around judging people for their behavior, because that's not my place.
Right.
I'm supposed to forgive them and love them and get them through it and show them the other side of where they're supposed to be instead of continuing to walk in the hypocritical lifestyle.
Oh, absolutely. We sang a chorus this morning we've done different times through the years, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. It's all about that, to be like Jesus, you know, all through life's journey from birth to glory, to be like Jesus. That's what it's all about. And Jesus came to give us an example of how to live and what attitudes to have. And in fact, he says that he came to show us the Father. And I think so many people have a picture of God that is not correct. And God said to Joshua, you're going to cross the Jordan and you're going to root out this ignorance, this pride, this love of money, you know, the violence, all these human effort, all this attitude, fear, all these things that control people. We are not to live by those things, Megan.
No, we're not. And, you know, that's what's amazing, because Joshua could have had a prideful attitude about what was about to take place, that he knew what was going to happen, but he didn't. He was humble before God.
Amen.
Because he was a humble servant. He was following the promises of God, and he was going to obey his direct orders like a soldier and do what was set out in front of him.
Amen. Yeah, it's interesting that Joshua, and I said earlier, was 80 years old, but yet this... And Moses has just died, and Moses is the one that's been leading the children of Israel for quite a while now. So here, for 40 years. And so here is Joshua taking over the reins of a community of people that's like 3 million plus. And, you know, that's why in the first chapter of Joshua, you hear God tell him 7 times, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, because God had an assignment for Joshua. And God's been speaking those same things to me, Megan, for the last several months. Be strong, be courageous. I've got a new thing for you to do. Move forward in faith. You know what I'm saying?
I do, and that's your driving force, and that's the driving force behind Beacon of Hope Ministries, is that the promises are given and laid out in front of you.
Amen.
And you're not going to lay down and grieve over
right.
one minute detail that's going on. You're going to continue to fight, to drive, to preach the gospel
Amen.
Out of the Bible, and to speak the truth of the Lord.
Amen. That just reminded me when you said that of what Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ,
Amen.
For it's the power of God for salvation to the Jew first, but also to the Greek, which means it's salvation for all of us. It doesn't matter if you are born a Jew or if you're born in Colombia or Brazil or the United States or in England. It does not matter, because it's for all of us. This gospel is free, and it's for all of us, Megan. And that's good news, you know?
Amen, it is. And you know, the last time I was on the radio, it's like I talked about, it's recruiting season.
It is recruiting season. Boy, I'm glad you brought that up. Recruiting season.
You know, it is the easiest recruitment that you'll ever find, ever. There's no required test to pass. There's no physical demand. All you have to do is give up your heart and give your heart to the Lord and let him lead you in your life and change your lifestyle.
Amen.
That's what this type of recruitment is about, Pastor. It's about living the truth.
And you know what? It's that sanctification that we're talking about here, where God says to Joshua, tell the people to cleanse themselves, to get ready. Is Betty on? Are you there?
Hello?
Hey, Betty. There you are.
Hey, good afternoon, ladies.
Hey, there's your daughter Megan on the line with us. So, you know, your daughter just said a word that began with R, and it seems to me like I just keep hearing all these words that begin with R lately. And she said it's recruiting season. Did you hear what she said?
Yes, I did. And I signed up for... several tours of duty.
Did you? Okay. Many tours of duty as necessary until
it's
Jesus
necessary.
Comes back?
That's right, because we're a frontline freedom fighter.
Woo! Amen. And it's your own husband, Joe, Megan's dad, who stood at the celebration service last week and said the word that God has had on his heart for quite a while. And it began with an R. Do you remember that, Betty?
Oh, yeah. He said, I think the word of the time for that period is release, and that's what God wants to do. He's going to release, you know, on us, miracles, signs, and wonders.
Amen. Yes, he is.
And it's just like he did with the Israelites, that he was releasing them into freedom.
Amen.
And to worship him, and that's what he wants to do today, is for us to release the things of the past.
Amen.
Release the religiosity, release the spirit so that it can work mightily in us and through us.
Amen. Release all that human effort, all the thing of trying to do it myself. Megan, comment on that, because I think your dad and what you just said, recruiting season, what your dad said, release, all of this is going hand in hand in this new day.
Absolutely it is. And you know that word, when he said that, that can mean a multitude of things.
Yes, it can.
It can mean releasing the grief from losing Grayson.
Right.
It could be releasing some of your past faults that you've had.
Right.
It can mean, it's a multifaceted word that he spoke that day. And it was one of those moments where you're sitting there watching Dad speak, and you're just kind of in awe, because it's
yes.
like, yes, that word came directly from God through Dad.
Yes.
That's why it touched so many people that day, because it's like, we had to think about what that word meant to us. And like yeah. I said, it meant something different for every single person.
It did, and I tell you, I really began to get teary when your dad spoke that, because he was teary too as he spoke. Because
yeah.
when God is speaking to us, oftentimes we feel emotion about it. You know, we feel that, wow, I'm hearing from God, God Almighty, the Creator, Almighty God. I am hearing directly from Him. I'm hearing His voice. And that was very personal to a lot of us in the memorial service last week, that word release, what really was. You there, Megan?
I am. Is Mom on? Hi, Mom.
Is she on?
Megan, who's going to talk?
All right, now we can hear both of you. Okay, go ahead, Megan.
Well, you know, it's amazing because I asked Dad to speak. And at first it was kind of like, oh, gosh, you know, what am I supposed to say? But, you know, when you're quiet and you listen for God's voice,
right,
you'll know what it is when you hear it. It's not your subconscious or your other personality talking to you. It's God. I hear
right.
Him on a daily basis. And that's where it's amazing that he didn't know what he was going to say. But when he got up there and spoke, the Holy Spirit was all over him, and it flowed like butter because it was the Holy Spirit talking through my dad.
Oh, absolutely. Well, this goes right along with verse 9 of Joshua 3. Then Joshua addressed the people of Israel, and he said, attention, listen to what God, your God, has to say. Okay? Listen. In other words, I like what you just said. So often we think we can't hear from God. You there?
Sorry about that.
Okay. All right. So often we feel like we can't hear from God, that we don't, that's a job for the minister, the pastor, whatever. Betty, talk to me about this, how important this is to listen.
Well, and because, you know, God is, told me through these past few months to be still,
yes,
and know that I am God. And a lot of times I seem like I do a lot of the talking and I don't really listen like I should. But you know, when you hear that, when I say a still small voice, it's something that overpowers your carnal thoughts, your carnal mind. It takes over your entire, it takes over the spiritual part of you. That it comes over you like peace. I mean,
yes.
Comes over you like a blanket when you're cold.
It does.
And you feel this warmth just encompass you. And it's so important to know that when God talks to us, how special that means.
Ooh.
How special we are to Him. That He actually said, "You talking to me?"
Yeah, isn't that cool?
And it is. It is really. Probably one of the most awesome things that I have ever encountered,
right,
is going through a storm or a trial, and have, like we did with Grayson, is that be courageous,
yes,
trust me, have faith in me, and lean on me, and
right,
lean not into your own understanding. And when we're talking about release, is that was a monumental moment in my life, is that I released all of the fear and unsure of what the future held
right.
for us
yeah.
and our family. And it's like, it was just like a rush of water. It's just like a rush of, like a wind blowing over you, that you feel this peace.
Yes.
And you know that was God. And I hope that people realize that everyone has and can communicate with the Heavenly Father.
Amen. Amen. And I think that's why Joshua 3:9 is so important when he says, listen to what the Lord your God has to say. This is how you'll know. And then God says, this is going to happen a certain way. You're going to be able to root out these bad nations as you go and take the promised land. And it applies to us today. We are going to be able to root out that fear that we have so often, that lack of vision, the human effort, the ignorance, all those things, the pride that really keep us from entering our promised land. God says there's a way, and there's a that we have the ability to root that stuff out and move into all He has for us. Ooh, Betty, did you hear all that?
Yes, and you know, the neat part about that is that all of us at some point in our life have faced the Jordan River.
Yeah.
And even if we just take that step of faith, take one step. water and trust God. Watch that water part. Now, that's just an analogy of what God can do in our lives.
Amen.
Just stepping outside our comfort zone.
Yes.
Stepping outside the boat. Stepping just a step into the water and trust Him.
Right.
And watch what He can do.
Oh, it's huge. I want to play a song today. My life is in you, Lord. And this song's been on my heart. And listen to these words. It really applies to where we are right now. Love that song. My hope, my life, my hope, my strength, it's all in you, Lord. Woo, Betty, comment on that. Wow, because that's where it's at.
Yeah, when you give everything to Him, it just seems to be, you just walk a little bit lighter, you sing just a little bit louder,
right.
And it's amazing what God can do when we give everything to Him, trust Him, obey Him, and give Him everything that you have that's bothering you, and watch there will become a change in your life.
Right. I find it interesting that Joshua had to take such a huge step of faith, because here he is, he marches or leads 3 million people, 8 miles. They set up camp. They're there about 3 days, and then he says, okay, we're getting ready to cross the river. And there's no boats. There's no bridge. Megan, talk to me about that. Think about those people and what they thought about Joshua. Well, I wonder what he's got up his sleeve this time, right?
Well, that's exactly true. And, you know, it's like kind of piggybacking off what Mom was talking about is at some point in our life, we've all faced the Jordan River.
Right.
And what we mean by that is that we've all faced some type of situation that's caused us maybe to have some anxiety,
right.
Or some like you have like a, you don't really want to take a step forward. You're kind of stuttering in what you're doing. But
right.
That's where these people had to trust Joshua. And they knew that he was appointed by God.
Right.
Because of, you know, him following under Moses' footsteps. And that God would never lead them wrong. So that was a huge leap of faith on their part, was to go and move with him into a situation that they had no idea what was going to happen. You know, they had no idea what God was about to show up and do.
Exactly.
That's where, when you follow the promises, is when you follow the promises, you find your miracle.
Amen. Amen. I said this this morning, and I love this phrase. It's not original with me. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And that's what it's all about. We stand on those promises of God. We stand faithfully believing that what God tells us is true. God said it. I believe it. And then that settles it. And then we move forward. And that's what happened here with the children of Israel. And Joshua told them, okay, here's what's going to happen. The priests are going to carry the Ark of the Covenant, which is symbolic of the presence of God. The priests are going to carry that into the middle of the Jordan River. Now, remember where we are with the Jordan River right now. It's flooding its banks. Now, Joshua says, here's what's going to happen. This is so like God. He tells you what's going to happen. Then he does it. And then he tells you he did it. And reminds you of his promise that he did it. Did everybody catch that? These three steps? God tells you what he's going to do. We still have a lot of popping here, Bobby. I don't know why, but there's a ton of it coming in. Bear with us, listening audience. We are, by the way, up on the video on the internet. You can go to tantalk1340.com and catch that if you prefer. But we're having some popping issues here, so he's going to check that out. But God says it. Tells us what he's going to do. Then he does it. And then he reminds us that he did it. Why does he do that, Betty?
To remind us that he is still in control.
Amen.
It amazes me of the things that, I'm just using my own life for instance, is that in my few decades here on earth, is that God has performed miracles in my life that makes me want to trust him and follow him even more.
Right.
And if I was one of the Israelites and I first saw Moses part the Red Sea, that would have sent me on my knees.
Right, exactly.
And then, you know, a few years later, here's Joshua standing and saying, you know, watch this. I want Jordan to
right, exactly.
It's like, okay, here's the second biggest miracle that the Israelites have seen, I mean, in that magnitude.
Right, in that magnitude, right.
Yeah, but, you know, even the little miracles that is performed, a lady that I know was diagnosed with cancer, and, you know, all these PET scans and MRIs have shown these tumors to be there.
Right.
Well, you know, the power of prayer, power of God, interceded. They took a PET scan of her last week. There were no tumors.
They were all gone. Praise God.
They were gone.
Praise God. Amen.
And see, that is a miracle in her life that's
right.
Going to change her life forever.
Right.
And that's where we kind of, you know, after it's all said and done, we kind of want to fall back into that complacency and that,
yeah.
Oh, okay, I guess, is that we have to do this. We have to trust, believe in God every single day of our life.
Amen. Yes, we do.
Megan, to be able to know that, you know, when we do face these storms and we do face these huge, you know, Jordan rivers that come up in our life, that's where faith and trust, and that's where the Israelites had faith and trust in God and in Joshua to lead them to this and through it. If you're going to lead us to it, he's going to lead us through
it. And you know what? That so
right.
applies right there with that song we just did, My Life is in Your Hands. You know, my hope is in you. My strength is there. We've got to be that committed, that sanctified, set apart for God's use. And we've got to be that committed to follow through with what God tells us to do. Megan, talk to us about that.
Well, I can convey that through myself because
I was brought to a situation, but I was also let out. And the only way that I got out was through putting my trust and faith in God. And that was through the birth of my son and there what has happened thereafter. Right. And I think that's where a lot of people are totally baffled by my reaction of myself is, well, you know, hasn't she, you know, grieved the loss of her child? Well, of course I have.
Absolutely.
But I'm not a mess. I'm not sitting over in the corner, you know, standing back and questioning God. I'm not doing that. I'm standing right on the front line where God wants us to be, where we have total faith in Him, where we trust His plan and we trust His purpose.
Right.
Just as the way Joshua led those people to the Jordan River was through courage, strength, and stamina in God.
Amen. And then He got them there. Whatever you guys are doing in there in the cultural, it's working because, okay, it's not, the popping has stopped for now. Praise God. Let's
praise
keep
God.
We'll hope it'll continue that way. But you're right, Megan. They got to this place and there could have been huge amount of trepidation and fear. Some could have said, you know what, I'm not going to go forward because I can't see how we're ever going to get across this flooded river. And Joshua says, here's how you're going to do it. You are going to follow the presence of Almighty God. That's the anointing of God. You're going to follow that. You're going to follow what God is doing. And the people believed Joshua and said, okay. And Joshua said, stay back a ways so that you can see what God is doing. Don't just rush into it. Stay back and watch and see what God is doing. I love that, Betty, don't you? I mean, God wanted there to be a distance between His presence and the people so they could see His presence.
Well, and that would have been me, because if I was there back then, I would have wanted to be in the very front, because I have seen and felt the presence of God,
right?
And it just makes you want more,
right?
And you, sometimes you have to stand back and let Him work.
Amen.
And watch the glory come out of what He does, because if we were to step in and try to intervene into something that He's doing, in my case, Pastor and Megan, it never worked.
Right.
If I let God have control, it works. Things work out much smoother.
It's a matter of letting God do that. It's a matter of God letting God do what He wants to do and watch what He's doing and then move out in faith, which is exactly what happened here. The priests had to pick up the Ark of the Covenant and put it on their shoulders, and it was probably pretty heavy. It had inside it, it had the Ten Commandments, which symbolize our rules for behavior and attitudes. It had a jar of manna, which symbolized God's provision and how God kept them alive in 40 years in the wilderness. And it symbolized, and there was Aaron's rod that bloomed without being attached to a tree trunk or anything else. So you've got God's miracle power, you've got God's provision, and you've got God's way of living and behaving. And all these items were in that Ark of the Covenant. And the priests had to lift it up on their shoulders, and they had to stand in the riverbed for many, many hours for 3 million people to get through. If you think about that, that's crazy. That's a lot. Talk to me, Megan.
That would have to take a lot of strength to uphold all of those items.
Right.
And to stand there that entire time.
Right.
But, you know, when you think about if you had any people that were standing by, if they were impatient, is the fact that you think of it in a literal sense, is if they would have rushed in front of the priests that were taking the Ark of the Covenant into the river, they would have drowned.
Right.
And that's what happens in our daily lives, is if we try to step in front of God, we're going to stumble. We're going to fall.
That's true.
We're not following His plan.
Right.
And, you know, when you stay back and you stay where you're supposed to.
Right.
And you let God lead you, as the symbol of the Ark of the Covenant is stating in the Bible.
Right.
Is that we're directed,
right?
And all of us humans need direction, not our own direction, but the ultimate Creator's direction.
Amen. And we got to do it in God's way and God's timing.
That's right.
Wow, we're going to talk more about this in our next hour. Betty and Megan are staying with us, and we are excited about this new day. This new day is a good day. It's a day of stepping out of our comfort zone, people. It's a day of saying, God, what do you want me to be doing today for you? It's a day where we wake up in the morning and we say, okay, God, I know you've got great plans for today. I don't know what they are, but I just am so excited to see what you're going to do and how you're going to use me. Betty, don't you think this is what God has been wanting us to do, to, as you say, step out of our comfort zone, step out of the boat, and step out in faith on a daily basis?
Oh, hallelujah, yes. sometimes I just kind of beat my head against the wall sometimes, thinking when I see what God can do in people's lives, but they're not letting him do it.
Right.
Is that it's time, people, that we step up. We step up to the plate. I mean, it's just like, let's talk baseball. You step up to the plate.
Yeah.
You got the bat.
Right.
You just aren't gonna stand there and let the pitcher hit you with the ball.
Right.
You've got to get into the game. You've got to put on your. Bring your A game.
Right. Bring your A game.
You've got to say, God, here I am. I am on the plate. You have got to help me. And even if you get scared at, you know, you're on the, you're in the batter's box.
Right.
God's gonna help you through it.
Amen.
Whatever makes you scared. Whatever you're fearful of, whatever you don't know what tomorrow brings, but we're not supposed to worry about what tomorrow brings.
Right.
Is that today is the joy of the Lord. He is our strength.
Amen.
And that's the kind of attitude that we bring to the plate is, God, give me the strength and the courage, faith, what I have when I step into that batter's box.
Fantastic. That's right on. Woo. So whatever's going on in your life right now, God has an answer. God has direction for you, and he's got wisdom that you can tap into. And he wants you to lean on him. We're going to talk more about this with Joshua chapter 3 and 4 in our next hour of Living the Good Life here on this radio station. You can also switch over to the internet if you want, tantalk1340.com. You can also download the app, TuneIn Radio. And you can get in there and listen on your smartphone to the show. So we talked earlier about the fact that our shows are recorded and we put them, the podcast, we put them on our website the next day usually after the show. So if you miss this first part, you're just now tuning in, you can catch it tomorrow or Tuesday on our website, bohmglobal.com. Station ID, be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. My guests today are Betty and Megan, part of our regular radio team members. I'm Pastor Marcia, and we are enjoying talking today about God's direction and plans in our lives and in our ministry and the things he's wanting us to do. We've been having a little bit of popping and cracking. I'm still hearing it right now. I don't know if there's much we can do about it, Bobby.
We're thinking it could be caused by the thunderstorms in the distance over Tampa Bay, right?
All right. I didn't realize we have some, so that could very well be what is going on. So bear with us, folks, and what we can correct, we will. And otherwise, then just be patient with us. And Bobby says it's thunderstorms, and yes, we do have some storming happening here. So Betty and Megan, it's a day to trade in our sorrows. I bet you know what song we're going to do next, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Betty, talk to me, Betty, about that, trading things in.
You know, it's like a rummage sale.
Okay.
Is that you have all of this stuff, and you've got to get rid of it. You've got to turn it over and give it to God and let him deal with it. Let him clean it up.
Right.
Clean up all the junk and stuff in your attic. Clean out the stuff in your garage. But that's what he does to us on a daily basis.
Amen.
Let him. So, if you know, we always call him Mr. Clean.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit can do such a work in us when we let him do it.
Well, I think that goes back to Joshua 3 here in verse 6 maybe, where God says to Joshua to tell the people to sanctify themselves. Tomorrow, God will work miracle wonders among you. And that sanctify is the word hagiazo in the original translation. It means to set you apart for something that God wants to do in you and through you. And it requires that cleanup process. In the nursing home ministry just now, Nan showed up, Betty and Megan, with some cleaning supplies. And she talked, you know how she's all the time doing her little talks that are really funny usually. And the people were like wanting to see what she had in her container, you know. And she had some Pine Sol and she had some Scrub Free and I don't know what all. And she was just talking about how God cleans us up. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I think it's very interesting that God told Joshua to tell the people, tell them to clean themselves up before they go forward into the new day. Megan, comment on that before we do this song.
Well, it's like Mom says, that God is the ultimate Mr. Clean.
Amen.
And he really is, because any cleaning supply that you need, he's got it.
He's
like
got it.
The ultimate Walmart, you know?
He is.
And, you know, that's the thing, is that God's not going to work through people who are carrying baggage.
Right.
And so if you're in a place in your life right now where you wonder, well, you know, why am I not living up to my full potential? Well, take a look at your life and see what might be out of whack.
Right.
You know, maybe you need to clean up the fact that you're drinking alcohol, or that you're doing drugs, or that you're a hypocritical Christian.
I mean,
it could be anything.
Sure, anything.
But realize your faults, because it's okay to have faults. All of us do. I know mine. And I'm still learning mine.
Amen.
But that's the cool thing about God, is that we're always forgiven.
Right.
Always. No matter
always
what
forgiven.
We've done or where we've been.
Woo! I'm trading my sorrows. Praise God. It's time to trade in some of that stuff, isn't it, Betty and Megan, for the joy of the Lord and for the promised land where we're headed. And it's like the children of Israel have been camping. They've been going around the same mountain for 40 years. It was time to turn in all of that sorrow and pain and walking around that same mountain forever and move into the promised land. And that's what God is saying today to us, is he not? Betty, talk to me about this.
Oh, yes. You know, when that you were playing that song, it just, I thought it was going to be blessed assurance. But,
oh, really?
You know,
okay.
That's what God promises us, is blessed assurance.
Amen.
That when he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it.
Woo,
and
yes.
It's amazing. It's amazing what, you know, in these next few days, months, and years, what God is going to do in each of our lives if we let him.
Oh, amen. He's taking us into this promised land. He's taking us from that just camping out by and looking into the promised land and actually getting across that Jordan River, so to speak, in each of our lives into the new promises and the new day. Megan, comment on that as we go back to Joshua 3. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I can talk about what I've been through is, you know, I kept a journal while I was going through the season of Grayson.
Amen.
I never thought that I would be on the other side of this in such a joyous state. And it's true, because when you walk with your Savior hand in hand, there is such an enlightenment.
Amen.
It's like a totally different aura that you have. And it's amazing, because when you let him use you to your best ability, then every day that you get up, it's a new adventure.
Right.
And it's just like with the crossing the river. They were going into the promised land. They were going in to the land that the Lord set out for his people.
Amen.
And that's where we have to look at ourselves, is that we want to be a part of that group of people that's going to walk across that river that, you know, moved back so many thousands of feet and held back so many gallons of water. That we need to be ready for these miracle signs and wonders.
Amen.
They're coming. They are coming.
Amen.
Oh, amen. And so we see here, look at this. I love this. I agree with everything you just said. God says to Joshua to take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And when the soles of the feet of the priests carrying the chest of God, master of all the earth, reach the Jordan River and touch the Jordan's water, the flow of water will be stopped. God told Joshua, here's what I'm going to do. When the priests touch the water, I'm going to stop the flow of water. Okay? The water coming from upstream will pile up in a heap. Now, we know, according to this passage of Scripture, that the water stopped about 20 to 30 miles upstream, and it began to pile up, stand up, and basically congeal, which is just a total miracle. Betty talked to me about this. This is so cool what God did. He did this at the Red Sea 40 years before. And you can just hear God going, you know, that was really a cool miracle, how I stood all that water up. Let's do it again. You know, that was fun. Let's do it again. Talk to me, Betty.
Well, I think that you had really to get their attention again. He had to do something that was phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Something that a million some odd people would be able to see. Because
3 million.
Three million people. It had to be astronomically big. It had to be a phenomenon
right.
That would, you know, would set people back a couple of days and say, "Whoa!"
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and then imagine 3 million people crossing
right
for that long. I mean, it's not going to take 5 minutes for 3 million people to cross that.
It's going to take a long time, several hours. I can't even imagine how long it took.
It's amazing to me, and then how that they could hold that Ark of the Covenant that long.
Right.
But, you know, God stands behind us, and he has people stand behind us that hold us up in prayer, that holds us up to a point where, you know, our arms may be tired, but there's someone else behind us holding us up.
Amen.
So they knew that God was behind all of this.
Right.
And, again, I think he did something this miraculous to get all of their attention again, to focus solely on him.
And it gets our attention today, you know, 3,000 years later, 3,000 plus years later. It gets our attention. God of miracles wanted his children of Israel to get across this river. The Jordan River symbolizes death, okay? John the Baptist was baptizing, when Jesus came to this earth, John the Baptist, baptized people in this same Jordan River. And water baptism, when we go down in the waters of water baptism, it is an outward sign of death and burial. Being dead to our sins and our past life and being raised up, resurrection life, into a new day. And so it's so interesting to me that 1,300 years later, John the Baptist is baptizing in this same Jordan River. I love that. Okay, and the Jordan River symbolizes the old way, okay, that so often it's overflowing its banks in our lives. We've done the same thing over and over again, and we are expecting different results, which is the definition of insanity, right? And we get so hung up in our old sin and our old ways of thinking that it's so hard to see that we can be on the other side of that river, Megan. It's so hard to see that we can really have a path through the old life, you know?
Amen. And I have to think about, too, is the tribes that were waiting on the other side of the river, is I can imagine that they were mocking.
Oh, yeah.
And mocking Joshua, yeah, and mocking, yeah, the people that were standing over there going to try to cross this river. So, you know, even today we have people in our lives that mock us.
Absolutely.
And make us think that we can't come out of the old and into the new. But that's where God showed up, and he showed off, because he didn't pick just the normal season. He picked the rainiest season,
right,
of the year to make that river stop dead in its tracks.
Don't you love that? He loves impossible. In fact, I've heard it said, and I've taught it for years, you can't have a miracle without an impossibility. Talk to us, Betty. You can't have a miracle without an impossibility. Otherwise, it's not a miracle. The definition of a miracle is something that wouldn't ordinarily happen under ordinary circumstances.
Well, and you know, thinking about the children crossing that Jordan, that in a river, Pastor and Megan, there's unsettled soil. I mean, there's sandy soil. There's silt. There's
right,
all kinds of things that can come up in our lives.
Right.
But when God moves that way, he moves that silt. He moves the seaweed.
Yes.
He moves the big rocks that we think are immovable.
Ooh.
But when God moves, he moves the impossible.
Amen.
He moves those things out of our way so that he can see that it was him. It was not us. It's not my will, but his will be done in our
lives. Amen. Amen.
And when we pray that hardest prayer, that's when things start to happen.
Amen.
Because we step aside, Pastor and Megan, and we let God take control. We let him be our pilot.
That's exactly right.
Be the captain of the sailboat. And sometimes it's hard to do because we don't want to let go. We think, oh, if I let go of this, what's going to happen? Because I don't know what's going to go on in the next chapter of my life.
Right.
It's just like, you know, the things that, you know, the Lord's changing at the Beacon of Hope.
Right.
Is that there are tears that were shed because you think, Lord, is this you? Have I failed you in some way? But no, my child. I'm taking you across the Jordan, and I'm setting you on higher ground.
Amen.
I'm setting you on solid ground. It's not sinking sand anymore, my child. I'm setting you on more solid ground.
Woo! I agree. Wow, you are right on. And I want to tell any of our listeners, you want to weigh in or you want to comment, I've got my cell phone right here now, and you can write a email to pastor@bohmglobal.com. It'll come up here on my phone, and I'll check it during a song. pastor@bohmglobal.com if you want to make a comment or weigh in on the things we're talking about. I want to make a couple comments. Megan, you are so right about journaling. I mentioned it today. Nan actually went out and bought a bunch of little journals, and we gave them out at church. We're going to be giving them out this month of August because we want people writing what God is saying to them. And I asked people to write the first entry in their journals to be Hebrews 11:6. And write it out in your journal. And it says this: for it is impossible, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who believe must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So get a whatever translation you like, Message Bible, NIV, whatever, King James, and write that out in your little journal as you begin this journey with us. And this is the first Sunday of August, and this month is a very important month at Beacon of Hope. And we invite you to our services, but we also invite you to get a journal and write down Hebrews 11:6 right there as we begin this journey that we're in right now at Beacon of Hope. Betty, I thank you for mentioning that because, yeah, there's tears. There's it's letting go. It's release. Your husband Joe was right on. That's the word of the hour, release. God has been speaking that to me. And, you know, the children of Israel here in Joshua chapter 3 had to release their doubt, their worry, their fear, because when Joshua said, you know what, we're going to the other side of the river and we're going on dry ground. I mean, wow, it's if you're going to go, and I mean, how about getting halfway across the river and getting so scared and panicked that you think the water's going to come down? And it didn't, because when we look at verse 17 of Joshua 3, the people crossed facing Jericho, so they crossed facing the enemy camp, and that'll preach, and there they stood. Those priests carrying the chest of the covenant stood firmly planted on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel crossed on dry ground. Finally, the whole nation was across the Jordan, so it must have taken a while. And not one wet foot, it says in the Message Bible. Betty, comment on that before we go to this next song.
Well, again, when God does something, when he comes on the scene, you're not going to be able to hit your foot against stone.
Right.
Your foot's not going to be wet. You're going to cross, and you're going to cross with victory.
Amen. Woo. Megan, talk to us about this.
Well, you know, if you went back to when that took place, if you had a journal and you were logging your entries for the first few days before you did that, you probably, like I said, would have some anxiety in there.
Right.
But then the day after, the day you cross, you get to the other side, and there's a miracle written down.
Wow.
You saw a miracle because you stepped out in faith, and you didn't get your foot wet. And he didn't even let people step in the mud. You couldn't get stuck.
They weren't even stuck in the mud. They couldn't even get stuck.
Exactly. It was dry as a bone.
Yeah.
Because he was showing his magnificent power to those people, and that when they trusted in him, that he was going to take care of them.
Oh, wow. That's so right on, which leads me to this song that's been on my heart for a week now, singing it, God Will Make a Way Where There Seems to Be No Way.
In ways we cannot see, he will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely.
Praise God. I am living in that, my friends, Betty and Megan. A river, a road through the wilderness, and dry ground through an overflowing river. Wow. Are you there?
You know, he made, he's made you a promise.
Yes.
But he said he would never leave you nor
right.
forsake. And you have stood on that promise for as long as I've known you, that no matter what the devil has thrown at you, you have come out victorious. Maybe it seems impossible at the time.
Sometimes it has seemed impossible.
Yes, it has. But you know, God's timing is impeccable.
Amen. Amen.
And it may not be our timing, Pastor.
Right.
His timing is the best. And you know, he's provided you with living water. He's provided you with manna.
Amen.
You know, he's given you a staff to carry you and to do your proclamation.
Right.
And you've done exactly what he's told you to do. And my friend, he's taken you into the new promised land.
Amen. You know, and I think it's interesting, Betty and Megan, because you were a part of 1991 when God called me to leave my church that your family was a part of in Indiana. And told me to set out on this new journey with him. And it required obedience. And it was very difficult for me, as you remember, going through that with me in October of 91. And moving to Florida, and I was doing missionary work in Central America where I'd grown up. And I felt like I would be doing more of that. And I did do some of that for a season. But, you know, all kinds of things happened, and I won't go into my history here, but God eventually caused me to begin Beacon of Hope Ministries in 2001. And all of that would have not happened. We wouldn't have this radio show right now had it not been the obedience in 1991, Megan. You know what I'm saying? Because you were a part of that. Even though you were pretty young, you were involved in all of that at that time, weren't you?
Yes, and you know, I still remember the night that you told us what God was telling you to do.
Right.
And you were sitting halfway on your stool that you always put your Bible on.
Yeah.
And I remember that because we all cried because
it was
the end of the season.
Right.
But we knew that there was a new season upon us, and that's what, you know, that's what we all go through, and you've been through it so much, and you have such testimonies of power because, you know, even though when seasons end, there's always a new, brighter, stronger season.
There is.
Ahead of all of it.
Amen.
Amen, there is. And, you know, when I was ordained as a minister of the gospel back in 1985, my father, my dad, Bill Wagner, pastor, evangelist, missionary, he and my mom came from Florida where they had started a new church, and they came up to Indiana for my ordination. And Dad stood that night in the sanctuary, and the head of the organization that I was ordained under was there, and she was preaching. And before she preached, she asked my dad to say some words. And he came to the platform. That you two were not a part of the church at this time. And my dad stood there, and the Holy Spirit just fell on him, and he began to declare that this church would be only for a season, and that from that would grow the next ministry, that God was going to move in interesting ways, and that those people would have me there for just a season. And I still have that proclamation on tape somewhere. It would be interesting to go back and listen to that. My dad's with Jesus in heaven now, but be interesting because he and I had not discussed that. That came from God on the spot. And I think what I'm trying to say here is that so often God does not do things the way we think he should. Hence that song we just played. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. You know, he takes us from one season to the next to the next. And even though the season we're leaving seems to be ideal for us, it was very hard for me to leave that church I began there in Indiana. Very hard, as you both know. But from that grew the next season and the next season. Betty, talk to us about that.
Well, you know, even as old as I am, I remember that as well as if it was yesterday.
Yeah, I do too.
That the Lord told me, you know, we'd been there maybe several years, and
yeah.
The Lord said, I have something I want you to tell Pastor Marcia.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, it was going to be, you know, what a great pastor she was, and, you know, how, you know, being a spirit-filled Christian, you know, how she's walked, and it's like, I can't tell her this. He goes, you have to, because she will take it from you like she would no one else.
Right.
And I said, but Lord, and at that point, it's like, pick up your tent stake.
Yeah.
And I said, God, I know what that, you know, even I was fairly young then, a Christian, and I said, that means that she's going to leave. I don't want her to leave. He says, you don't, but I do.
Right.
And I remember him speaking that to me so clearly and handing that to you was the hardest thing I've ever done besides praying for my grandson, you know, for his will be done and not mine. But it was a new chapter. I mean, it was like standing on the Jordan.
It was.
The banks of the Jordan and seeing, you know, however long it was, 156 miles, however long it was, and thinking, okay, God's going to part this water. I mean, this is Joshua. God's going to part that water, and 3 million people are going to go across it. You mean I can't send my child into a new season?
Wow.
And because of your obedience, that's why that there's a season after season. It's because you've done everything. It's very well done, my child. You've done everything you can. He's got something new, more exciting, something that you are just going to thrive in. I mean, and that's the word, good word for this hour is thriving. Not surviving, but you're going to thrive in this next season.
I agree with you, and I need to say this for our listeners so that they'll understand that this is directly from God, everything that's happening right now on the show. You just quoted Isaiah 54, starting with verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. And I have written in my Bible that I just turned to right here. I was teaching out of the Message Bible a moment ago, and I opened my little green NIV, and I opened it to Isaiah 54 because I knew what you were quoting. And I wrote a date beside that passage, and I wrote it. It was last September the 13th of 2013 when God took me away, took me to a three-day time with him on the beach, and I stayed in the condo of a friend that I have, and I stayed there, and I spent 3 days listening to God and began a notebook, a journal, Megan, like we were talking a moment ago, of all the scriptures God was giving me. God began this new season really September 13th of 2013, and I have it documented in my journal what God spoke, that he was going to enlarge the place of our tent. Betty, you didn't know that I'd written that in my Bible that day when you just now spoke that. And you also don't know that that was the exact same scripture that God used to call my dad, Bill Wagner, to the mission field when I was 10 years old and to uproot me and my two younger sisters and my mother and move us to Central America for those years of missionary work. Very same scripture. This is God. This is God.
I know that the very beginning of Isaiah says, spread out and think big.
Amen. Spread out and think big. And that's what we're doing at Beacon of Hope. We're going outside our walls. Megan, it's not easy, is it, to make changes in our lives that require stepping out in faith, is it?
No, it's not. Because in the realm of the unknown, it's scary because you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
And I was in that just a few months ago with Grayson because
right.
all the tests that they did, there was no there still is no predictor of an outcome with a baby with what he had.
Right.
And that alone could have been terrifying. And, you know, that's where whatever season that you're in your life right now, is there are unknown factors.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, there may be people that have lost a job and they don't know where they're going to go or where they're going to work, or they may be losing their home.
Right.
Or there may be, you know, a church that things are changing. And just like with you guys, but, you know, Pastor, through every season that you've been through, there's always been a change, because there's been a change of the way that the world has become. There's been a change in how people view God.
Right.
And those seasons that you've been through have all accommodated those factors.
Right.
And it's just, it's amazing how, and you know, just with what Mom said, what she was quoting, is it's so God, because he led through her words right to that scripture that you were led to last September.
Right. Yes.
And it's just totally amazing. Totally amazing.
Well, with that amazing fact, let me tell you what happened this morning at Beacon of Hope as I was preaching. Go with me back a few pages in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 6. Megan, you brought up the journal issue, and Nan had brought in the journals for everybody that was at Beacon today to have one, and I said, guys, you need to begin to write what God is speaking to your heart about you and what God wants to encourage you with and so forth. And I was talking about that. And I said, in my journals, so often there are scriptures. There are certain scriptures, like the one, Betty, that we just read in Isaiah 54, that I wrote in my journal on September 13th of 2013. I said, it's right here how God began to deal with me September 13th of 2013. There was a new season. I was to let go of the past and move into the new day. Now, keep that in mind that we just moved into a brand new building for the church and the ministry. And I was pretty excited about that because it was the best building we've ever had. And as you two have been there, it's just beautiful. And I just thank God for it. But now God is saying, let it go. Don't stay. And don't renew the lease, and you're moving into this new day. And when I'm saying all this morning, y'all, Betty and Megan and listening audience, suddenly I was in my Bible, and I just said, like this, just open your Bible and let God show you something. So often your eyes will fall on something that will just really speak to your heart. When I did that this morning, I turned to Isaiah 6. That's what came up. And I looked at it and realized that I have a date beside Isaiah 6, verse 8. And it's that same date from Isaiah 54, 9, 13, 13. Because this also was a verse that God gave me last September when this process of change began. And I'm going to read it from verse 8, Isaiah 6, starting with verse 8 through 10. I believe it is. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. He said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull. Close their eyes. Otherwise, here's what would happen to them, and what I believe is going to happen. They might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed.
Praise God.
Oh, my. And I love that in verse 8 where Isaiah says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. And that happened this morning, which reduced me to a pot of tears. Betty?
Well, you know, Pastor Marcia, that I was given to us back in April, it says blessings come from obedience.
Amen.
And because we are obedient, God knows our heart.
Right.
And he's going to send us where we can be used the best by him.
Right.
Whether it's in our own neighborhood, whether it's in a church, whether it's in a mission field, wherever God sends you, he will use you. It may be at the grocery store.
may be at Walmart. It may be wherever you are. You bloom where you're planted.
Amen.
And be all that God wants you to be.
Amen.
Stand in the gap for people that can't do it for themselves.
Amen.
I told you and I told my daughter Megan that I will stand behind you no matter where you go, no matter what you say. You may not want me there, but I'm going to be there anyway.
Of course I want you there.
Yes. And but you know what? That's what the people of God have got to do now.
Exactly.
We have got to take the blinders off of our eyes.
Right.
We have got to take whatever is causing us not to hear what God wants us to hear. We have got to become so alert.
Yes.
And those Kairos moments are going to come.
Right.
And they're going to pass and we're not even going to see it.
Kairos moment is God's opportune moment, and we've got to grab those suddenly moments in our lives and not let them pass by. You're exactly right, Betty. Ugh.
And it's just like with, you know, people that sit in these buildings. And Joe and I talked about this last week after the ceremony service that we had for Baby Grace, is that the people in these churches have got to turn to God.
Right.
It's not a building that builds the kingdom of God.
Right.
It's the people that build the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That the harvest is great. We have, just like Joshua did, Joshua stood in faith.
Right.
He was obedient. And he did exactly what God told him. And you know what? God brought him through. Probably bigger and better than he probably ever even thought for himself. Because he knows that his God is big.
Amen.
My God is big.
Amen.
Your God is big. And he can do anything. And what he promises, says he will do.
Amen. And it's a new day, and it's a wonderful day. Megan, comment on that before we do this song.
Well, you know, when you say, God, send me, make sure that you're ready to move.
A good point, young thing.
Amen.
Amen.
He's going to move you.
Right, he will.
If you're not willing to move, then you really didn't surrender yourself and be truthful of heart when you said, God, send me.
Right.
And that's what, Pastor Marcia, that's what you are, is you are the ultimate, I am surrendering, because he moves you everywhere. I mean, he really does. He's got you, he's had you going all kinds of directions, but that's his plan.
Amen.
And you surrender to his plan, and, you know, it's what we all have to do. And I just really wish that people would really believe in God. And I don't mean just, you know, oh, yeah, I believe in the Bible. But sell yourself out.
Right.
Sell yourself out as a sold-out Christian.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen.
The life of a sold-out Christian is not rocky. And just because, you know, that, Pastor, that you have moved locations and your ministry is changing, it doesn't mean that it's rocky. It's not.
Oh, no.
Because
oh, no.
It's all smooth. Everything that he's
Amen.
Has all been knitted together.
Yes.
For his glory.
Yes, we're continuing this radio broadcast every Sunday. We're in our eighth year. We're excited about this show. We're going to continue it. And also, I'm going to have a new show come September, another in addition, a drive time show, which we will give you more information on that soon, which will be a different format from this. But we are going outside our walls, like it says on our website, to reach people where they are. Just as they are, with God's love. That's what it's all about. And we're going to do different things. Yeah, we're giving up, some furniture and some stuff, as we call it. And we're trimming down in our belongings. But we are moving out of those walls to where people are. And we're hanging out behind the line of grace, and I wanted to do this song for both of you, Betty and Megan, because you came to our church a couple years ago, and you sang the song, introduced me to it by Karen Peck, and New River, I love it. Listen.
I lie in wait while the battle rages on. Rules of this war say that God will always shield his own. And though afraid, danger well in sight, sometimes we're just too tired to try. He tells us to be still and know, and wait behind the line. All the the soldiers of God's army are behind the line of grace. No matter how the battle goes, the Lord will keep us safe. There's no weapon that can stand against the wall God built in our defense. We may not always see His face, but we're secure behind the line of grace. He will not withdraw His eyes from the righteous night or day. We may not always see Him, but He knows the way we take. When we have no strength, no power to fight, and it seems like God is nowhere in sight, He steps in front of the enemy while we rest behind the line. All the soldiers of God's army are behind the line of grace. No matter how the battle goes, the Lord will keep us safe.
Praise God. I've loved that song since the first time I heard you, Betty and Megan, sing that in 2012 at Beacon of Hope. And that is appropriate for today, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. That's a mighty song.
Yes.
It says a lot, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? You know, this morning very early, it was probably about 7:15, the Lord told me to get my little notebook, and He gave me a word, and it's very long, and so I'm not going to read hardly at all any of it because it's very long. I may send it out in an email to our people tomorrow, but one of the things God says here is just rest in my goodness and my power and my love, all working together in your life at this time to bring you out, to bring you in to all my abundant blessings for you and yours. Yes, you are called to bold acts of obedience and times of serious trusting in me where there seems to be no way, where there seems to be little to work with. I am your provider. I am opening my windows of provision. I am bringing all the details together as you trust me. There must be no doubt or fear in this, your new day, only trust and courage. Woo! And there's so much more in that word. I'll share with you, Betty and Megan, later, and may write it in an email. But this is the new day like Joshua experienced. This is that moment when they crossed over from the side of the Jordan that contained the past, Egypt, slavery, the wilderness years of walking around the same mountain for 40 years. And now they're walking across on dry land into their promised land. Talk to me about this, both of you. Megan, your turn. You're up.
Well, you know, there is, even in my own life, I faced the Jordan River.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could have walked ahead of God and let myself drown, but I waited for dry land.
Amen.
And there is such a greater promise for my life on the other side of all of the things that have happened.
Right.
And, you know, one of them is the fact that I had to speak in front of family at Grace and Celebration.
Right.
I never thought
that I would ever do that, and that's something that I don't like doing.
But you did a great job.
Thank you.
Yes, she
God
did. Yes,
was
she did.
There, and the Holy Spirit with me and everything that I said.
Right.
And it's just, you know, listening back on the things that everybody said, it's amazing what can come out of things when God is the center of the book.
Right.
And, you know, that's where people really need to realize that when there are no, there is nothing, when you're in a situation and you have nothing to look forward to, when you think that there's nothing there, there is. You just need to maintain your faith.
Amen.
Through that circumstance, because God always has a plan. He's not going to give you the details written out for you. You have to keep walking. You
Amen.
Can't stop where you are. Don't let people throw stones in your way. Just be courageous and step over them and step into whatever's coming at you, because when you walk out in faith, that means that you're going to have courage, and God is going to give you the courage and the strength to battle anything that's laid out in front of you.
Praise God. Amen. Words of wisdom, young thing. Woo. Now, Mama Betty.
Well, as I was sitting, we're sitting here in the cell phone lot at the Indianapolis International Airport, and you were saying just a few minutes ago when you open your Bible and God gives you something.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that, you know, the Lord gave Joshua his orders.
Right.
He was obedient and followed him. So I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to read what the Lord gave me.
Okay.
Psalm 91.
Huh.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High
yes.
will rest in the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
Amen.
Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. And that's what the line of grace is. It's our shelter.
Amen.
It's our shelter from the things that the world tries to throw at us. The things that the enemy thinks is going to catch us off guard. Sometimes it does. But you know what? When we stand behind that line of grace, as you Joshua trusted and it was obedient, and his blessed assurance was in God Almighty.
Amen.
That's where we need to put our trust, is in Almighty God.
Absolutely. And this new day is a day of excitement and joy. And I've had a few responses from people when I say that we are no longer going to have Sunday morning and Wednesday night services. We're going to a Friday night format only, along with our radio shows. And other opportunities that God opens up, but Friday night only. And people are going, wait a minute, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, we've always done it that way. It's a new day, Megan, don't you think? And we don't always have to do it the same way we've always done it.
No,
we don't. And, you know, that's what I embrace is change.
Right.
And that's where a lot of people get stuck.
Right.
Because they think change is scary.
Right.
No, change is not scary. I am a true testimony to that, because through the death of a child, there is an enlightenment in my life.
Right.
And that is, for me, as young as I am, is realizing how much life I have left here on earth to live.
Amen.
And that I have such an enjoyment of getting to share my story of my son and how sovereign God was through that entire process.
Right.
And you know, that's my life's journey now, is telling people about God and about Grayson.
Yes.
And, you know, that is so cool, because I cannot imagine all of the things that he's going to lay out in front of me over the rest of my life that I get to enjoy. And that's why life here on earth doesn't have to be bad. It can be wonderful, because there are great people out amongst the world if they just let God shine through them.
Amen. You know, when you were saying all this, Betty, I think you said a few moments ago, blessings come from obedience. Megan, you've had to obey God in all of this that you've gone through. You've had to see God's hand in it. You've had to take comfort and courage from him. I was reminded just then when you were talking, Megan, of a verse in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, and it says, if you consent and obey, you'll eat the best of the land.
Amen.
Another translation says, if you're willing and obey, you will eat the best of the land. So, you know, what God's promises are for us, sometimes are not the way we would do things. You know, he gave us this new beautiful big building last year, and then now a year later, he's telling me, don't sign a new lease, move out in faith. And it's almost like a gypsy, you know, picking up my belongings or our belongings and going forward into the new day. But if we're willing and obedient, we'll eat the best of the land, what God has for us. I have no clue everything that God's going to be doing in the weeks and months and years ahead. But we're coming down on the hour here. So give me a final thought, Megan, final thought, Betty. And what a wonderful show this has been. So
amen.
Who's first? Megan, be first.
Absolutely. Praise God for a wonderful show. And I just want to tell everyone, please come and join God's army, because it is an awesome place to be. And life is not boring. It's glorious.
Woo. Amen. Amen. Betty, talk to us. Megan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Pastor.
I think good word, Meg. One of the things that, just sitting here and thinking back, is that, you know, when Jesus came up to the disciples, they were fishermen. Some right. were, you know, maybe were carpenters. But he looked at them and he says, put down your things and follow me.
Amen.
That's what we have to do. And it doesn't mean giving up everything, but just that one word, you know, Lord, use me.
Amen.
Use me where I can best be used.
Yes.
Where I can use my abilities that you have given me. And I think that if our listeners will just try this just 1 week, Lord, use me and send me where you will, I think that there would be a change in our nation, in our community.
Amen. Well, right on. Thank you, Betty. Thank you. I encouraged our people at Beacon today to read the 11th chapter of Hebrews every day this week. Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. So I encourage our listening audience to do that too. Hebrews 11 this week. That's your homework. How about that? So you can contact me personally, pastor@bohmglobal.com. I'll be happy to respond to your emails, pastor@bohmglobal.com. Our services right now through the month of August are Sunday mornings at 10:30. And Wednesday night at 7, go to our website, bohmglobal.com, and find out all about us. And we will soon have up there the new location where we will be meeting on Friday nights beginning September 5th. God bless you. Have a great week. And know that this radio show will continue every week, Sundays at 3 o'clock. It's been great to be with you, Pastor Marcia, Betty, and Megan. God bless you. Have a great week. It's not far to Jesus. It's not far to Jesus.
His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no need for you.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.